I don't know what kind of brach he's supposed to give on Lag Boimer or whatever. I had asked Yaakov that maybe I don't have to, the Elam is still busy with the Suda. I don't know what, I forgot already the celebrations that are in Eretz Yisrael. But okay, Al Kapanim, I guess it's post the Lag Boimer already. Okay, so we were holding last time in middle of the Inyan of the fight between Esav and Chushim Ben Dan, and the fact that they were both contending for Moaz HaMachpelah. That's always the last time. So he explained that Esav and Yaakov were fighting, jockeying for the same position, and the shadow was Yehuda, Adon, and so on. I wanted a little bit, I guess, in line with Inyan Adioma, a little bit speak about this Inyan over here of the fight of Esav and Yaakov with regards to some of the Inyan Adioma. I guess I'll try to frame a sort of an issue. How exactly do we square the inyanim of this whole world of Teres HaSoid, which Rav Shimon Yochai is the primary Rebbe of it, with the world of Halacha and Torah? There's nothing of this in this world. It's not, they sort of occupy two different places. So what is it? Is this the Iker? Very hard to get a handle on it. The people who are kind of indifferent, and there were many people in the 1800s or 1700s who pushed back against the whole Inyan of the Kabbalah and all this on the practical level on the whole Torah and so on. So how exactly, what place do they occupy in the whole system of Torah? They're obviously not of the same type. Shachar comes with halachas, with chiyuvim, with isurim, this doesn't. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the whole topic and understand it. So let's go back to Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav are the third generation of the issues between Tov and Ra. So Avram came from Terach. So to speak, Terach and the whole world versus Avram, that was first generation. Second generation is Yitzchak and Yishmael, and they're pushing and fighting for the Yerusha, the Nachla, whatever you want to call it. And finally, Yaakov and Esav. So each strata of these had a very, very different, issue to deal with. Avram versus Terach and the whole world was Yesh Me'ayin. It was like a Bria. It was like the entire world was extremely, extremely convinced about Avodah Zarah, the way the world today is convinced about science. It starts with science, ends with science, there's nothing else. And that was Avram's Nekuda. Yitzchak and Yishmael basically claimed to be the chosen one. And they still do. Ada Yom Hazeh, the Bnei Yishmael claimed that everything happened with them. Yishmael's the older one. He was Nimol Tishlosh Esrei. And he claimed to be the Iker because he was first. And the question was, who is the real one? Esav's Mahalach was showing himself Lechura to be equal. Very famous Medrash that says that the four behemoth tmeis that the Torah, the four min tamei that the Torah singles out, each one is connected a different umma, and the chazir is connected Esav. It's the only tamidic animal that outside looks kosher, and the simon pnimi is the one that differentiates it. So all the other balechayim, the difference between tameh and tahor is in the realm of the visible, And as opposed to Esav and Yaakov, where the difference lies mitzad the pnim, not some pnimistika simen, which is not nicker. At first glance, you can't see the difference until you don't see them being maliger and so on. So we have Esav as a bria that A, tries to imitate Yaakov. Esav, Chazal tell us that he asked the same from a shilas that Yaakov asked, you know, about Masunas HaTevin, the Melech, and so on. All of that was mitzad chitzayin shaboy and a very different pnimius. So I guess we need to first of all define that the Akadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are the format, the external format of ruchnius. How does a firm person look? How does a good person look? As a bismillah, he has payas, he has tzitzis, he has tefillin. The mitzvahs themselves are the activities. They belong to the olam ha-maisa, and they primarily are expressed through asiya. Then there's Torah, which is a pnimistic world. And Torah means my understanding of the process, my havana of it. It's not the rules how to do things is the chitzonis part of Torah, but my etzem understanding of what it is, what it's about, is the pnim. So a person has a guf and a shama. Torah is given Torah and mitzvahs, and the world is given with asiya and tachlis. There's tachlis, ma'aseh shamayim v'aretz, and then there's ma'aseh shamayim v'aretz. So everything about this world comes on two planes. One is the physical body that is, and the tachlis, the kavana of it. So when we speak about the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us, there are two items we note in this world. This is a physical world with many, many things, and all these things are Maisa Hashem. And then within the Bria itself, there is a Kavana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a purpose that, in a sense, the purpose defines the entire Metzias of the Bria. You define something, what its purpose is. If there's a chair that's waiting to be sat on, it's a chair. If it's waiting for kids to put it in the bonfire, it's firewood. The name of it, the Gemara says that Shinui Hashem is Kishinui Maisa Dami. When you change the designation of something, you've changed its metzias. So the same sheet, if it's a bedspread, it's the same piece of cloth. I could make a bedspread out of it, a tablecloth, or a robe. In the old days where a robe was just, you know, you wrap yourself around with something. It's the same piece of shmata. The question is, what did you designate it? And the Gemara says, its designation is such a profound change that it has a din of a different mitzias in terms of kinyan zela and all of these things. That all of these things are different, you know, different mitzias, and the designation and the tachlis gives it a different mitzias. I once said in Gemara Baba Kama in Meruba, it says that Rava asked a basic question, and on the sugi itself. And he said, I sat on this question for 22 years till I became Rosh Yeshiva. And then I was oimed that Shinui Hashem Kishinui Maisidami. The story itself expresses the point. In other words, I'm the same person I've been for 20 years. But as soon as I became the Rosh Yeshiva, I now understood it differently. So Shinui Hashem Kishinui Maisidami is sort of born of his personal experience, in a sense. It's such a fascinating chazal that the wrapping with which they present this halacha is the halacha itself also. So this world carries in itself a toich and a pnim, and it carries itself an appearance, expression. If you want to use more technical language. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is divided into many different ways. There's 7 spheres, 10 spheres, many ways to divide it. But one of the primary ways of dividing it is between something called Malchus and the rest of the Hashgacha. Malchus is how we express it, and the rest of it is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents himself. So there is the tachlis, what the world looks like, and what is the kavana that is being put into it. The way things are, so one chalukah is between the olam of mitzvahs to the olam of Torah. In Torah itself, you have the Torah of what we call Nigla and the Torah of Nista. The Torah of Nigla deals with the items in this world that are b'mitzias. B'mitzias meaning they occupy the strata of the Olam Asiya, the physical world, the tangible world. That is Nigla. Nigla and Nista is not only, whether the Torah you're allowed to tell people, not to tell people, how secretive you have to be about it. It's a description of the subject matter. One deals with the chitzonis of the world, and one deals with the pnimis of the world. So it's memela. It's automatic afterwards, like the Maral says. The way in which you convey Torah should be indicative of its content. The Maral says it by actually in the Mishnah Chagiga about to how many people are you megala arayas and ma'aseh merkava, ma'aseh breishis. He says it's not only practical. It's also, since Arias concerns two people, so that's the right format to express it in, and so on. So Torah's Nigla, the subject matter of Nigla is the physical world as perceived by our senses, the lowest rung, what we would call the world that is, that exists, and Torah's Hanista deals with the world that we're not aware of. But Elohura, that would be, what's the point of it? In other words, the world that we're part of, so that's something that's very, very chash of us. We have to walk around and do things and so on. But what's the point of dabbling in the world that we're not part of? You know, it's the Olam HaNister. So why should we get involved in it? What's it our business? What do we have to add to that world? By definition, we don't exist in that world. None of our senses pick up anything in that world. And I, and a normal person can't do much. The answer is it's a very, very important way. And that is the machshava of the person. So every mitzvah that I do as a cognizant human being, as a human being who does things with das and rutzen and so on, is the dimension of the appropriate attitude, the appropriate tachlis, the lishma, is where this Torah comes in. The sefer of the Arizal is called Eitz Chaim. The sefer of Kavanis, there's two of them actually in that series, is called Pri Eitz Chaim. In other words, the purpose, the lamaisa of the world of that Torah is the kavana that goes into the maisa I do. There's a lot spoken in many different places about the different places where Reb Shimon Bar Yochai expresses this, even in the world of halacha, gemara. First of all, the whole story with how Reb Shimon Bar Yochai got into trouble is an argument, a debate that's exactly this nekuda. It says that he was sitting with Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi, and they were discussing the Romans. And Reb Yudah said, "Wow, that they do such great work. They make these bridges and these roads and so on and so forth. It's amazing." And Reb Shimon's response was, "They're all doing it for themselves. The roads make it more efficient to collect taxes and so on." So the facts were agreed by both sides. There wasn't an argument. It wasn't as if Reb Shimon was denying the roads and everything. It wasn't as if Reb Yehuda actually thought that the Romans were doing it out of a great altruism and the love of humanity. I don't think that was the issue. The issue was, how do I evaluate something? And any time when I evaluate something, I always have a but. So I can say, so-and-so's a nice guy, but he's impossible to work with, and he's crazy, and he's stupid as this. Or I can say, this person is a wonderful person, the right person, right? But this is an equity you have to worry about. How I evaluate something is my perspective. So Yehuda Meir, it's a question who was exactly. His attitude was, in this world, what is what counts. Machshavos and kavanes and yichudin are not hanoshas to this world. That was his attitude. And by that standard, Romans are by and large a beneficial nation. They add a lot of value to the world. Reb Shimon's perspective was that you look at the teichen, at the what are they doing? They're not building roads. Mitzad de machshava, mitzad what they're trying to do, they're building toll booths. That's really, it's glorified toll booths. It's glorified whatever it is that they're doing. And therefore, if that's a perspective, so yes, there's collateral damage that we have decent roads, but tachlis, what they're doing is taxing the world. So the machlokas, Reb Shimon Yochai's perspective was, you go basa content. Tochel, Reb Shimon Yochai said to learn, he said, learn my Torah, because my Torah is the essence of Rabbi Akiva's essential Torah. In other words, you're getting the essence of the essence. That describes something that is the pneumistic and ekuda around which everything else is built. When I ask somebody, I don't have time to listen to the hour lecture, could you give me just the heart of it, the nekuda of it? So that's what I'm doing. I'm giving you the pnim, and the person might have elaborated many examples with many applications, but I want the pnim. It's the same type of idea. There in halacha also, this is something that's kind of generally spoken about, different sfarim speak about different places, but the halacha of Eino Miskavin and Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa are, Reb Shimon is the maker in both of them. One of them holds his mutter, one of them holds his pater, and that means that you label a malacha based on its, you label a malacha based on what your intention and designation is, as opposed to what it is in fact. So three people are digging holes in the lawn. One of them is digging a hole in order to plant a flower bed. The second one is digging a hole because he needs to get the earth out of the way. And a third person is digging a hole because he's schlepping a chair across. One is Eino Miskavin, one is Tzricha L'Gufa, and one is Miskavin. Shimon Yochai says, as long as I didn't do it in order to plow, it's not called plowing. So you have the same tug of war between doing a maisa, that if we only looked at the world of maisa, we'd have to describe this as plowing. If we didn't look at it, the world of maisa, and we're now looking at it as mitzad the person and what he's doing, lechas machsheves, now we have a whole different world. So Reb Shimon Yochai is the one to make it for that reason. The the Torah that he gave us was a Torah that talks about this world. That's why Kavanas, understanding what's happening, the Pnimius, is that world. Yaakov and Esav, even though in the way in which things come down to from Lamala Lamata, it starts with Machshava, Abrashis, the Torah says as Bechachmasa, and until it slowly becomes the formed world that we have. So just like a cook, when a baker is baking a cake, the baker has an idea of what he wants to do. He wants a sweet cake, a tall cake, a little cake, a hot cake, whatever it is, and he bakes the cake. The person eating it discovers things into it from the cake that he has in front of him, how it was made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mahalach starts with a rutz and a kavana, like we say, tachas mashavarets. So milamala lamata, things come, they start with a kavana and a machshava, and then they become fleshed out and become a metzias. Our avoda starts from the outside in. Let's take a very simple example. A child is learning about the world around him. So the reason why the apple falls down on his head is because of gravity. But the child starts with the feel of the apple falling down on him and understanding gravity from that apple. So lamala lamata, it starts with pnimius and till it wends its way through chitzenius in understanding and discovering and whatever it is that it takes, we start from the outside and work our way inside. So the primary, in terms of if we ask ourselves, what is the primary avoda, it's a tricky question. Because if we define primary as first, in other words, in order of execution, what's step one, what's step two, what's step three? It starts with the chutz. The first thing is put on tzitzis. Second thing is say a brach on it. Be mechavin that you're going to remember all the mitzvahs and so on. And slowly, and until you work your way into the pnimius of it. But if you ask yourself primary in terms of mitzad Ribbono Shel Olam, mitzad its own surah, the kavana / tachlis came first, and the things that are close to it are second, and the things that are further afield are third and fourth and so on. So there is no answer to which is primary unless you define what's primary. There's not going to be any other way to define it. Is primary the beginning for the one who made it or the beginning for me? If it's one who made it, then the pnimius is primary. If it's from me, I start with chitzonius and then I make my way into it. So for people on this side of the divide, meaning humanity, we start first with the Torah that's bechutz, the Torah of the Olam of Maisa. And that is the most important in many ways. It's what to start with, and it is also the most ma'akiv. And that's what Nefesh HaChaim's point is constantly, that what's ma'akiv is the Maisa HaMitzvah in its most basic way, the Ribbono Shel Olam said. If you're able to add a step and understand it a little better, and you're able to add another step and understand more, ma tov ma noiv. But it's sine qua non. If you do not have the ma'isa, then all those machshavos are worse than nothing. They're a pchin of chachmas merubim ma'isav, and it's not good. But if we're to ask ourselves, what is the tachlis adam? The Tachlis Adam is not to stay with the Olam HaMaisa and to sort of brush it up with a few nice vertlach from the Olam HaPnim. It's to get to understanding Chachmas Yisparach, Metzoni Yisparach, to somehow divine that out of it. So that was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's Torah. That's why it in order of Gilui, This is the last chelik of Torah Dibur Skala. It has to be that way. A Torah doesn't start off with what Tikkunim made in the other world. Torah starts off with Sivuyim. You are in Mitzrayim, you are Vadim, you are crushed. I took you out. Here are the things that's Mechayiv. It's a long process until we get to a point where we can understand where this was coming from. Let's go back to Yaakov and Esav. We spoke about the four animals that the Malchus on Adaimatu. Malchus Edom is Tehoim, is Keneged Tehoim. So you know there's Toyu and Voya and Choshech and Avdei Tehoim. The Tehoim of a Tehoim, the Chazal say, is Ein Lacheker. So the Pashto Pshat, the Pashto Pshat in that Chazal is simply that the Golos of Edom is endless. We've been sitting there and no sign of it letting up. It's endless to us, and that's what it's like. But it's a much deeper point. When I describe something as Tohu Vayu and Choshech, I'm describing things that are clearly negative. In other words, this is what's negative about Choshech, this is negative about Tohu, this is negative about Vayu. Tohoim means it's bottomless, it's endless. So we just think of falling down, and the deeper the pit is, the harder you fall. That's kind of the way we describe it. But it's an infinite Tehoim. It's a Tehoim of Ein Sof. The problem with Tehoim is that it means the Pnimius does not exist. It's just a hollow cylinder. There's nothing there. Ein Lecheker. So, Lemoshel, when I'm dealing with a person who's got some level of seichel, some level of das, and so I can ask myself, why is he doing what he's doing? So I can do it. So if I'm doing business with someone like that, I can ask myself, why is he trying to sell this property? Why is he trying to buy this property? Why this? Why that? And I could possibly get to an answer. There is an answer there. The question is just getting to it. If a person, not a business type deal where it's very focused, but a person has a pattern of behavior. So I can say, what's driving this person? This person wants attention, this person wants love, this person wants this. And I can sort of say, this is the Nekuda and everything else is around it. But Rahman Atzlan, somebody I know was, for a long time, he was acting extremely, extremely weird and strange, and that unfortunately found a tumor or something. And he basically explained his actions were strange because they had no rhyme or reason. They actually had no rhyme or reason. It was whatever was pressing on wherever it was. So it's going no place. It has no teichen to it. In other words, if I ask myself what for, the answer is no what for. It expressed itself ultimately in the difference, in the polar difference. Esav said, Esav summed up his life's philosophy. Hine anochi holach lomos lomali abuchayra. So basically what he's saying is life has no meaning or tachlis to it. It's over without ever, nothing remains of it. All that exists is the chitzonius life. So the years I live, the activities I do, and that's it. I remember I was once, sometimes you get a summation of a life's philosophy in a minute. I was 2 or 3 years ago, I was coming back from my Eretz Yisrael from the summer, and I sit down on a United flight with my wife. And to describe what it was like, it was two seats for three people. there were three people seated on an area that could possibly seat two people. And the plane was jam-packed. So my wife, me, and there was this big, burly Hispanic person going back to New York. So I take a deep breath, and my coping mechanism is, I looked at my watch, and I said, it's 12 o'clock at night now. When the clock strikes 12 the next time, I will make the bracha of Matir Asurim very much kafana, and it'll be over and forgotten with. That was my coping mechanism. This fellow next to me calls the stewardess over, and he gives her a credit card, and he says, lady, I want another seat no matter what it costs. If it's first class, run the card, it's good for it, and just get it for me. So I was also misspelled that he would get it. Unfortunately, it was a tefillah shav that he didn't have it. But he turned to me. He was a little bit, I guess, he felt a little bit uncomfortable, maybe. So he says to me, you know, you live only once. And whatever you didn't enjoy, you'll never enjoy. So what's the difference? A few dollars more, a few dollars less. So I was thinking, we both had a philosophy to cope with. Just very different philosophy. My philosophy was, the stuff here gets over and then real life starts. And his philosophy was, this is real life. And when it's over, there's nothing here. But there was Esav's Hine Anoichi Hoylech Lomus means, it's a sum total of, he was saying, it's all exists only in the Olam HaMaisa. And nothing exists in the Olam HaPnim. That's what he said. Yaakov Avinu, it says, Yaakov Avinu Loi Meis, Mazar Abachayev, Hubachayev, however we understand it, but the point of it was, he belonged to Adam's B'chai La'olam. It means there's an akuda of tachlis, of pnim, of everything is going for something. It's interesting how Yaakov, the Balagor is medayik, it says, Logu ba'aretz bonu, melamed that they didn't come to be mishtakea. In other words, he defined his residency in Mitzrayim as saying that, you know, I'm not here to stay forever. So even if I'm staying here 100 years, I'm not a Mitzri. If Esav would have defined it, you know, you're living Mitzrayim, you're eating Mitzrayim, you're breathing Mitzrayim, so you are Mitzrayim. The final difference, as the others clarified, Avraham Avinu brought a new Mitzis into this world. Yitzchak and Shmuel fought over who is the bearer of that legacy, and in the Olam HaMaisa, their Amuna is very similar to ours, in one God and an Olam of Schar and Onish, but the Olam HaMaisa is very, very different. Esav, Be'etzim is Zeluma in the Nekuda Pnimius. So Al Kapanim, understanding the two Dargis of Torah, and the two Dargis of Gili from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Torah's Hainigla Nista, are not two sections of Torah, but two entirely different layers of Torah being Mesiaches to two different areas of the world. One is the Olam HaChutz, the Olam HaMaisa, and that is definitely first, and that's where a person needs to make sure that it's in its appropriate place. If the Olam HaMaisa is like a receptacle, it's like a cup, if it's not the right size, you can't pour any teichen into it. Teichen is only possible in a, just like if the body is broken, the neshama can express itself. If the olam ha'mais of a person is broken, it doesn't do mitzvahs and so on, he there's no teichen, you have nothing. But once you have that, imagine a person has a beautiful set of cups, but he has nothing to drink. The whole tachlis of it is it's a tea set, it's a coffee set, it's there to drink tea, coffee. The chelik of Torah that is misyaches to the chelik that's miyuchet to Klal Yisrael is this chelik. The Edoim, Malchus Edoim, is the Malchus Rasha, which specifically is Zeluma Sedis Nekuda. Their Malchus is the Malchus of Tehoim, where Be'etzem nothing has meaning, nothing has value, nothing has purpose. So everything is defined by what it is. In Kal Yisrael, Reb Shimon Yochai said, you define something by purpose, by kavana, by teichen, by content, and that's so. It's the sharpest expression of this point about Yaakov Nes that we're talking about. Okay, any questions? Any points?
Could I ask the Rashiva said? Rashiva said that that the Taurus of Pnimius is like the tachlis and the. But so let's say all the Rishonim or whatever, Gedolei Olam who learned, didn't know Torah's Pnimius, they didn't have it or whatever, they didn't reach their tachlis and if the answer is that they're going to get it, like, I don't know, in Olam Haba or in Olam Emes or whatever it is, so then Shuv, the question is, then why is it so important to have it now then?
So let me give you a mashal. Playing music. We had a boy that stayed by us. It was a boy by us in Yeshiva who was extremely gifted. He never took music lessons in his life. He could hear a tune and immediately play it. Most people need to learn on notes. So the mitzad pnim, person can sense it. A person who is a higher neshama senses the olam mitzvahs contains those pnimius, and for the person sensitive can feel it. A person has a sense of art, and he walks into a gallery. He can say a lot of very intelligent things about what those paintings are. Somebody who has no sense of it needs to be told. Or given very, very graphic illustrations. Here a guy is crying, here a guy is laughing, so this must be nice, this must be bad. But somebody who has a sense, just looking at the colors, everything else, has it. This chelik of Torah could be absorbed from the chutz if a person's neshama is sensitive enough. Masha'in Kane, it's the maila of having it giving it a language is that it is transferable. I can now explain to somebody and the person gets it. So my sense is the big people got it by osmosis from the mitzvah itself. Masha'ein Kain, the later generations need it spelled out in words and understand it more that way. So one answer to what you're asking is, as far as big people went, I believe firmly that they had that experience, the pnimius. They didn't talk about it because it was the way it was supposed to be in your heart, in your neshama. In a bigger picture, it's also each doros have the chelik that they're supposed to fill in. Yeah, doros, two doros ago, their avoda was the Mistress Nefesh, the Churban of Europe, whatever it was. A door before that was something else. So the Ikka Torah of each door expresses what part of the Kaima that door is supposed to take care of. So we have very little writings in Torah Sanista, before a certain time. But they were still building the Torah of Chutz. So in the big picture, I think that it's the generations build certain Shlemason. And I think on a personal level, big people have those depth of feeling that even us, after prattling all the words, we still don't have it. We could say the words are helpful, but ain't a doma when I listen to music and someone who's really musical listens to music and he instantly picks up on the mood and what's happening. And I need to refer back to my dictionary and say, well, if it's this type of beat, then it's this. If this type of beat, it's that. I think I'm beginning to get it. So mitzad the godless of a person, that's the difference. I want to make the same comment vis-a-vis. People speak of Chaim Brisker and what he was mechadish. You get early as farim, Even the Rambam himself, if you get a feel for the Rambam is saying a lot. The Rambam is in his words. This is a reasoning behind a lot of his words, but they did not have a vocabulary, didn't articulate it. So a person has very keen understanding, even without the words, he says, these are not similar. The cases are not similar, and he'll give it a difference between the two. Reb Chaim's gave it a vocabulary so that anybody who has a half a brain can use the tools very effectively. In Torah, there's the intuitive understanding, and then there is a very, very specific type of being able to articulate it, quantify it, and so on. That's a development in Torah. Okay. Yes.
Olam Atzilus, therefore, would be the tachlis of the world, and however it comes down into simple mice, into this world.
Correct. So, and let's give a very, very simple example. Something to relate to. If a person visits a couple and says, there's a lot of shalom bayis here. What a beautiful relationship. And you'll ask them, well, how did you notice that? So the truth is, there are two things. Most people will have just felt a very pleasant atmosphere. But when you're talking to somebody else, you're going to feel kind of foolish to say that. And you say, he brings the flowers every day.
There's always, this is ready for him. He spent the day getting that for her. She did this for him. I'm going to look for the tangible mice.
So now it's true that, a relationship where there are no tangible mice, really you ask yourself, am I fantasizing, imagining? But everyone understands that the tangible mice are just kind of the way of expressing it. So we instinctively sense the difference. We understand the significance of ma'isim. If you're never cleaning up after yourself, and if she's never making you lunch or whatever it is, then you say to yourself, but we have very deep feelings for each other, you're a bit cynical about it. But on the other hand, good lunches can be prepared by a maid or a caterer, and cleaning up after yourself is the same thing. It's just you learn to understand the expression of something and a physical tangible and the feelings where it's coming from. Those are the two chalkei Torah.